2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
What's up? What if he? What if he?
The Zone's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU as Utah's Devin Kaufusi joins Unrivaled for an insider look at the Ute football team.
Yeah, boy!
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled's Player Club. The Players Club featuring Devin Kaufusi, as it has every week, from the University of Utah, defensive lineman. And what a week to be able to get Devin back in studio again as we discuss one of the biggest wins in program history at the University of Utah. Not just great wins from this season, but the Utes knock off number three, Oregon. Move up in the rankings this week in the AP poll to number 16. Devin joins us here in studio. Devin, what was the immediate locker room like after the game? After you guys put it on Oregon on Saturday, what was that feeling like, knowing especially how much work you guys have put in during the week there?
Oh, it's so rewarding. You know, we really did put in a lot of hard work to, you know, past couple weeks to keep us rolling. It's kind of hard to get to the locker room with everyone storming the field. That's what I was. I was stuck out in the middle and made my way into the locker room right there for the Utah Man fight song.
I love that fans can enjoy that. But there was that part of me, too, that goes, don't give Oregon anything. They were storming the field after they beat us last week. Like, there's that part of
they
me.
They don't care about that.
Oh.
They don't care about
that.
You know,
they
don't care about storming.
By that kind of
no,
stuff.
They don't care about storming
the field.
All
I thought was, okay. Maybe you do it. I guess you couldn't do it at the Pac-12 Championship game in Las Vegas, so maybe you just do it there. But that's what that is. I mean, if there's going to be a game, you storm the field.
Yeah.
It's that one.
It felt like there was just a great energy there mm-hmm. all night. This was probably the first game all year that it's been absolutely at capacity. Mm-hmm. Big, national audience. What was the vibe and the feeling during the game and with the crowd?
Yeah, no, the crowd, we always – you know, make it a point of emphasis is get the crowd in the game, especially on defense when we talk about playing at home, is make a big play, get the crowd in the game, and, you know, early on and throughout the whole game. And, you know, Rice-Eccles has really brought it, you know, record-breaking crowd at Rice-Eccles. And, it was like earthquake moments, you know, Britt's punt return and everything.
Britt's punt return in front of the Mus, too.
In front of the Mus.
In front of the team bench, too.
I mean, yes.
He ran by everyone, waved at you guys.
Surprised one of those guys didn't tackle him.
Exactly. So yeah, no, and so just, you know, it's the reason you play football. And, you know, it's a game. And the opportunity Coach Wade kept emphasizing was, you know, this is the opportunity and the reason why you play football is for a game like this.
Coach Whittingham said something after the game. He said that I thought was interesting because I felt like it's been a problem. I don't know if it's problem is the right word because I don't think it's actually a problem. When you have a defense like you have that's young but very talented and you get in big moments, right, you get kind of too excited mm-hmm. and you want to over-pursue or mm-hmm. do too much. And he said one of the things we really focused on this week was just do your job. Don't do too much. And that's what it felt like in the game. Was that something that you guys noticed? And how much did you work on that? And what was the impact of that?
Yeah, I think just looking at our defensive, looking back at the tape and how we played, it really shows that emphasis. Really came from 2019, when they played in the championship. That was the big problem on defense when they played Oregon last, was guys started doing things, that they weren't doing all season. They started popping gaps, trying to make plays, make something happen, and Oregon was able to, win the Pac-12 championship that way. So it was really just self-inflicted wounds. So this game, Oregon again at home, we really wanted to, fix that and just play our gaps, play our assignments. That already showed with, I think, only two missed tackles all game. I think that that's what we talked about, which that's was wild. Awesome. The series were, not too many series like we've seen in other games. Really even out with Oregon stuff, but we were able just to really smother them. And that was from the sense of everyone doing their assignment. And so all week we were able to do that and play hard and practice hard. So when we came to the game, we were just able to smother them, really choke them out.
What did they do that was hard to defend? Or
were you like, this is the number three team because of this thing, that they do?
Definitely, everyone in the Pac-12, they got athletes at the skill position. Oregon, for sure, you kind of notice the speed, Oregon's speed is a lot different and a lot quicker than the other teams in the Pac-12. From a defense line perspective, they really, some big old linemen, sticking hard on those double teams, and so it was just straight out physicality. Coach Cristobal is known as a physical culture in the sense of how he coaches, and same with Coach Witt. So we really just wanted to, go toe to toe with them. Offensively, their quarterback was a great runner, and so we just wanted to stop the run there, not just from die, but also their quarterback is able to make plays with his feet.
Devin, one of the things that we were noticing in this game was that Anthony Brown, their quarterback, just seemed out of sorts all night. What was the game plan with him from you guys? He was certainly under pressure. When he did, he was like he was flailing back there. And there were a couple times where it wasn't like a full-on sack, but maybe just somebody gets right to him and it trips him up or whatever it might be. But what was it that you guys did against him that you said, we see this on film and this is something that we can do against him that makes him less effective?
Going back to how we said, just doing your job. Once you know your job and your assignment and your alignment, it's all about just the tenacity. And we talked about, playing with your hair on fire. So that was our emphasis on the defensive line was, look, slant left, slant right. Hit it hard, hit it with your hair on fire. That was a word we were using all week. So,
have you ever had your hair on fire? I'm just curious what that
I just watched that Seinfeld episode where Kramer accidentally lit his hair on fire with a cigar. And there was a reaction.
He got going. I think of Home Alone, what's his name? Pesci opens the door and he's running around. And so that's how Coach wanted to see it on the defense line was, we're hitting the slants. They struggled picking up, those slides. And, it's really getting his face, make him throw. Great athlete. We felt that he couldn't throw, the deep ball that well. Mm-hmm. He can stand in and deliver, a strike when needed. But really, it's just taking care of what he can do with his feet and then making him into, getting him into third and long.
Travis Dye was like a non-factor. It's a guy who catches well out of the backfield, runs the ball well. And you guys seem to stuff that guy all night. And so, after they're not able to do that, one of the guys they're going to a lot, getting a lot of touches during the game. And then you guys probably felt really comfortable after the first couple series.
Yeah. Watching the film, like I said, their whole line is straight. They're committed to the first level. So I'll just double team. So that's, me, Hawati Jr. and Aliki, that's the life of the defensive tackles. We take the two blocks and I'll hold it and, make sure our linebackers have a clean shot at the running back. And watching their film, it looks like they relied on Dye to make that one guy miss and then he'd break it free. But like I said, just sound defense, us holding space on the defense tackles, linebackers, giving them a clear picture to come in, and clean up Dye. Really patient running back. And he was able to squeeze through what we saw in film, some gaps that looked like they disappeared or did disappear. And then, he'd slip on out and stuff, but yeah, we really just, like you said, we just smothered him.
If it looks like you guys are really fresh, like physically, even, you know, some teams kind of get drugged down by the season or whatever. A year ago, the team felt like, boy, we could not wait for the season to get over soon enough. But this year, it really feels like you guys are fresh. Would you agree with that? And why do you think that is?
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. I definitely feel fresh. I think it's just the I know it's the the competition and, you know, the natural competitor and everyone on the team with all the young guys and everything. We all know we can play and play hard and play well. So, you know, when we're out on the field, we're making the most of our reps. And as well as just, you know, everyone's just really bought in. You feel the energy that's rolling with the season right now. You know, it's all coming together, peaking at the right time. Everyone feels that. Everyone is responsible, you know, taking care of their bodies, you know, not doing anything stupid, not having any off-field issues. Everyone's just bought in. And like you said, you could feel that energy of the team. And that was, yeah, that game was just the perfect feeling, the perfect vibe of everyone being bought in and believing in the process and the goal of winning a Pac-12 championship.
How much does depth help? That you're deep at so many positions, and does that help you throughout the year? Do you guys talk about that or notice it at all?
Yes. You know, the big saying is, you know, next man up, Coach Wells talks about. And I think it's a big problem. I think it's one of the biggest problems, I think, as a coach is having depth, but having a, you know, eliminating the gap between one and two.
Yeah.
We always talk about shrinking that gap. And really, as a defense, I think we've really shrunk that gap a lot. And, you know, the twos can roll in. Everyone's confident with them playing, doing their job, and making those plays.
You guys get the win against Oregon. It seems like an accumulation of, like, a lot, stringing together a lot of really good weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is like, okay, we're gelling as a team versus every week we've learned something else about ourselves and we're just and we're peaking at this point?
Yeah, you know, Coach Witt, what he mentioned was, you know, you guys have the right mindset, and you know, and that's what he loves to see out of this team is, you know, the personalities and the mindset that we have approaching each week and as we're gelling together right now. Crazy thing, we only have one more at home. You know, grateful we earned, you know, our way to the Vegas. But just, yeah, it's crazy thing. Like, you know, our defense played great and stuff, but we know that we can give more, and we, you know,
right,
can sell out, or there could be more, you know, like a bigger splash, yeah, or bigger plays to be made.
Should have shut out Oregon. I mean, that's my only criticism. It's like, you guys really struggled.
Yeah, struggled, shut out, no turnovers and stuff, but, you know.
Oh, you guys didn't force a turnover. That's right. That's actually
no.
Well,
neither team had a turnover.
Neither team had a turnover. Yeah,
wild to see the disparity that big too in a game that there weren't any turnovers.
I kind of expected there to actually be some turnovers, but there really weren't.
Yeah. Well, it's wild. Well, I mean, the block field goal feels like a turnover. I mean,
yeah,
that's
block field goal and the missed field goal turnover,
right,
downs.
You kind of feel that same energy because when the block happens, first of all, I look up and I go, oh, that was number 90's mitt. It had to be.
If Cole wasn't there, I was right there. Don't you worry. Cole, you know.
He took all the glory. It was, his hand was right there, but it was going right to yours.
I was smiling when I saw it because we knew low trajectory. We got a good push, and I was like, I was grinning. As soon as I felt we got off the ball, I was like, oh, yep, here it comes. And I'm looking at the ball come right to my hands, and I just hear it get smacked by someone else.
No problem.
So, but it was perfect. You know, Sky does a great job preparing us, letting us know on those details, and everyone just trusts and believes it. And so it's really good to, you know, I've had one through the middle. We're getting pressure off the edge now and stuff. So it's huge momentum swing being able to do that.
And it gets in a kicker's head.
Oh, yeah.
When you have that happen because he missed
the next one. Yeah. And it's really like he has to hook it away from us,
right,
in the middle.
Right.
Us being so high up there, has to hook it and also – or gets worried with the timing and stuff, and so it really does.
See, like these guys are bringing it.
See, again, that's where some of the feeling feels like a turnover because you're like you're forcing them to make just such a massive mistake,
mm-hmm,
and to come away with 0 points, you know, inside the red zone twice in that first half.
Yeah,
they just had no shot.
Gutting. It's gutting.
And you know, when you see Britt on that return, and you're there on the sidelines, and there's zeros up on the clock, mm-hmm, and it's one thing for the must to go crazy. But what were, like, when you guys went into the locker room then up 28, you know, a minute 19 before that, it was 14. minute 19 before that, it was 14. And then you scored those two touchdowns that quickly on that team. Mm-hmm. What was said in the locker room as soon as you got in there?
Yeah, we got in there and everyone's, you know, feeling it. Everyone's juiced
fired
and stuff,
up.
Fired up. Yeah, no, it's just, I feel like that's just the Utah, at least from a defense, that's just the Utah defense feeling where, you know, you get in that possession mode of that vibe of, like, there's blood in the water and everyone's about to eat. And so just feeling that confidence. So everyone's just, hey, we're doing our thing. Let's keep eating and stuff. So it really just becomes like a frenzy. So we got in there. Coach talked to us, mentioned, hey, these guys have been down before. I think like three games they've been down going to halftime and they've come out and won. So, you know.
Felt different this time.
Felt different this time for sure. But it was just like, let's just keep hitting them, you know, keep hitting them. And we love it because, you know, we've worked hard for it. And it's paying off in such a style and such a fashion of how it went down.
It really helps, Scott, when you, like, listen to Devin, our conversation with Devin Cafusi and the Players Club. Like, I mean, how awesome is it for these guys to be – I mean, this is a guy who transferred, you know, speaking of – you know, I know Peter Costelli transferred today, entered the transfer portal, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I was thinking about how, you know, Samson Nakua goes from Utah to BYU. Devin Cafusi goes from BYU to Utah. And for Devin, he is just – he's happy. Like, he likes where he's at. He loves the place that he is. He's buying into all – like, this was a better situation for him. And not only that, it's nice to string together all these wins and the possibility of going to the Rose Bowl, but this team is hitting some sort of a stride here that, you know, I think that everybody – it would be nice to do it right from the get-go, the beginning of the season, but that's just not how it works sometimes. And you'd much rather have this result, get to the Pac-12 championship game, win a Pac-12 championship, and get to the Rose Bowl. But yeah, he's been awesome to talk with.
I think the thing that stuck out to me was he goes – as good as we played on defense, we just feel like there's still more.
That's, you know, hilarious.
And so when you talk about peaking at the right time a couple of years ago and the other times Utah's been in the Pac-12 championship, it was with Jason Shelley. They didn't have Tyler Huntley. And they just seemed like tired. They just seemed that they were just, oh, man. And it just feels like this team's got a lot of spunk, a lot of energy, and that they're really ready to go do this. I can't get over when you watch how many young players there are in this defense and what it is. It's talent, and when you have talent, then they make plays. They may make mistakes. They may have to go through growing, but you've got a lot of young players on this team that you can just see get better and better and better. And that's what, you know, that's what it is when it's talent.
Right.
So you kind of have problems earlier in the year, but when you see improvement and you see things. Then you know you have you see a team get better, you know you have good players and you know you're really on to something, and it's a credit to the coaches to have patience with these players and to kind of keep building them up and moving them along, and because it's real easy for a team to just go in the tank, and that's what's going to be interesting about Oregon. You know, how is Oregon going to respond to this? Because Oregon looked tired. Oregon really looked like a team that may not get over this, you know, may not just be this loss. It could mean losing again and again. Now, who knows? But, it'd be interesting to see how that all turns out. But Oregon just felt like a tired football team.
Don't you just get the – and this is something we're going to ask Devin about in the next part of the Players Club interview. But it's going to be really hard to treat this week – like you did last week, which I know is what Kyle Whittingham wants to do. They want to treat it like, hey, man, it's Colorado. This is our rival. And then they look at each other and kind of go, like, they know that that's not the case. They can't manufacture this juice. But the thing is they can't fall off this week either. And the tough thing is that they know that even if they did lose this game, it wouldn't necessarily matter. But it matters to these guys personally. It matters to Whit. It matters to the team.
Oh, it matters.
You can't have a fumble. You can't fumble something like this.
Well, you're Colorado, and you've got a young team, and you're trying to build something there, and you're Carl Durrell, and yeah, you've had kind of a sour season, so to speak. There's not a better way to end it than to beat the team that's going to the Pac-12 championship game. And so they're going to have some motivation, not only because it's Utah, but they're going to have motivation because – They want to go out on a positive note.
Right.
It's not like Carl Durrell is leaving. You know, this is a program that's trying to build things. So you're going to get a good shot from them. Now, how good a shot? I don't know. I don't know how good Colorado really is, But you have to expect that they're early on, they're going to be there to play, and you really have to kind of break their will. You really have to just realize there's no shot of you guys winning this game, and let it be done with. And part of that is you want to kind of rest up your team for the next week. And I believe all the other Pac-12 games are actually on Saturday, so there's even another advantage, another day of rest for Utah than if it's Oregon State or Washington State. I believe they all play on Saturday, so Utah plays on Friday, and then the Pac-12 championship game's on Friday. So it's one whole week for Utah. It's one less day of a week for the other team. They both have to travel. And if Utah takes care of its business, maybe it kind of coasts its way to a victory and can rest some players even more.
Ooh, I don't like that, Scott. I don't like the juju that comes with you saying that kind of stuff. It'd be nice to put this thing away early, kind of get these guys resting up and just coast.
I'm just saying it would be nice. Will that happen? No, because this is the Pac-12.
Well,
anything is possible. It's just insane what happens every single week. I think the irony of all ironies, though, would be Washington State playing Utah in the Pac-12 championship game with all that's gone on at Washington State. That would be the irony of all ironies. I'd love to see Oregon State.
And again. No, Oregon State would be great because you can get that redemption win, right?
Yes.
Where you kind of go, okay, now we've got
to
come full circle.
You hope you can get that redemption because they have beat Utah.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not a good matchup. I don't know.
It's at least one of those. I mean, Twitter's blowing up with, man, what if BYU and Utah played now? But at least you could maybe do that with Oregon State.
That's a good question.
And, you do it again with Oregon State and
what
Utah.
What if they played right now?
Stop. I'm not falling for this. There's no such thing.
Well, it's the same thing that the BYU fans said. Well, last season they didn't play the game, so we actually won last year. We're on a two-game winning streak now.
The fan logic makes no sense. Doesn't matter, Scott. Doesn't matter.
It makes sense if you're a fan.
Yeah.
And that's really all.
There are some mental gymnastics that have to happen for sure.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that on Twitter. If it's mental gymnastics, I don't know. If it's just mental issues. Just people who get out of there and go nuts. Okay, it's the Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Also, Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. We're going to come back in just a moment here. By the way, on Friday, Jake and Ben are going to be at the Hot Tub Factory Outlet. It's a Black Friday sale in Draper, right next to Cowabunga Bay there. It's 121st South and Factory Outlet Drive. And you can find it there, and that's where Jake and Ben are going to be, 10 to noon on Friday at the Hot Tub Factory Outlet. Coming back, more to go. You'll hear more of our conversation with Devin Cafusi on the way back. How are they going to handle Colorado? What's the mentality going into Colorado? And next hour, you don't want to miss our discussion with the Players Club edition with Jaron Hall, the BYU edition of the Players Club. Stay with us. More to go right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club. With Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and Utah's Devin Cafusi. Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's the Players Club right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network powered by KSLSports.com. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, Devin Cafusi of the now 8-3 Utah Utes, Pac-12 South champ. Do you get rings for that guy? Are they making the rings up
it's
for
like,
that?
What it's like basketball divisions.
It's like a half division.
Like winning the Utah Jazz winning the Northwest Division.
Yeah, that's not the one you want to put up.
The actual
championship.
Yeah, no, we always want that Pac-12 trophy.
That's what we're looking for.
We see it every week in PowerPoint. Yeah.
It is Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving week, though.
Yep.
How does that change things? Because you guys have a Friday game. I'm assuming Sister Cafusi is going to be firing up some famous foods in Provo. You're going to be down hanging with the family and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Does any family come in? How does the Cafusi family do the Thanksgiving?
It's just at that point where everyone's growing up and stuff, and I change over the years.
Mom and dad are begging people to come. They're like, we'd love to see you.
No, it's all about the grandkids now.
And so
my twin sister, she has a 5-month-year-old baby boy. My mom made sure to shoot me the text, Mike. Make sure you're here for Hudson's first Thanksgiving.
So it's all about
the grandkids.
A little pressure.
Sure.
What's mom do? What does mom make? Maybe Steve has got a secret recipe up his sleeve. What is like the thing that they can't miss for you guys on Thanksgiving?
My mom handles it all on Thanksgiving, and she loves it. She has her stuffing, and she makes everyone come help break breadcrumbs, hand-broken breadcrumbs for the stuffing. Yeah. Everyone joins in. Her sweet potatoes. She does. I love her green bean casserole. perfect with the onion, you know, the crusty onions up top there,
crusty
too.
Scott's making fun of me because I'm like, I'm on this push to try to eliminate all the sides from Thanksgiving. I'm like, we need to reinvent
the
sides.
You just listed the top
listed
three.
All the ones
he
that
wants
I can't
get rid of.
I'm like, get them out
and
of
then
here.
My mom makes sure she's got a big Tom turkey. And
yeah, there you go.
We got our new oven a couple of years ago. And so it's big enough for Kafusi sized turkey in
see
there. Her. Oh, and her gravy, the mashed potatoes gone.
See, now we're talking.
She's got her, you know, she's got her, her bread rolls from scratch that she pulled out for these ones, and you know, she makes a lot, and they last for leftovers, and boy, it's a good time.
I'm trying to think how to balance not overeating. You've got a game the next dang day.
Yeah, Coach O says, you know, eat for performance. We're in the hotel and stuff, and so eat for performance, not for pleasure. And but you know,
they don't have all the food there if you got to do that.
Uh-huh. That's tough.
So you know. Of course, football is synonymous with Thanksgiving, and it's kind of fun to have a game the next day like that. You mentioned that it's the last one.
Yeah.
No, it's the last one of the season. You've already established that, you know, you've won the South. So the game's essentially meaningless. What is it that you want to get out of this game because it, you know, it's kind of a tough game to have in some regards?
Yeah. Coach Witt mentioned it at practice. Like I mentioned earlier, Eric Weddle was down today at practice, and he was able to talk to us and about this upcoming game. And, you know, first things first is protect the house. We've been undefeated at home this year, so we got to keep it that way, which was nice hearing from Eric Weddle himself, you know, being a U and passionate about Utah football program.
What did he say?
He just said, you know, like I feel like I'm with you guys. You know, you're saying we, you know, like I envision myself taking the field with you guys, and you know, the importance and the camaraderie and brotherhood that's so special here at Utah, and what it means to be a U. And so protecting that house as a U, you know, it's your family's house. You don't let anyone come in and mess with your family, and so you got to protect it as such, as well as we owe it to, you know, the seniors to send them off the right way for their last time at Rice-Eccles. And it's just what you do as a football team. And it's just kind of, you know, the known tradition and ritual is, you know, send them off the right way on their senior game.
So you have kind of a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the team, right? And I go, this is a really good football team. But what about next year?
Yeah,
like it could be better. I think it could be better next year, and so many guys could potentially. I mean, you could almost return everyone.
Yeah,
how much discussion do you kind of get or hear about guys whether they want to stay or they want to leave or you know because it's there's a possibility of going to the Rose Bowl this year, but next year could be who knows?
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely been talked about. You know, I'm in that position as a junior and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that are contributing on the team right now that and also as a junior and, you know, a big role on the team. And
everybody's got that extra year they could kind of play with.
Yeah,
see what they
everyone's
want to
got
do.
An extra year. And it's, I'll tell you what, it's, I feel like it's a day-to-day thing. Some guys are feeling this and then, I don't know, man, I feel this. And some guys are, you know, getting together like, I think I'm going to stay. And it's like, but, you know, we're going over pros and cons and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, like I said, I feel like, It's a day-to-day thing. You know, I come in a locker room and, you know, I see one of my buddies.
Do you think the end of the season will, like the ultimate end of the season will have an impact on it? Or do you think it'll be more like guys will look at their opportunities down the road? And I don't want to get too far down the road, but I know you guys, you have to think about this.
Yeah, no, you definitely think about it. You know, one of the things is, you know, for example, for me, my personal, I was like, you know, part of me is like, oh, you know, we win the Pac-12 championship, you know, we go to Rose Bowl. It's almost like, let's just then end it off
there.
Maybe
that's a good way to end it.
Maybe that's a good way to end it. Another way is just like, you know, I got more to give. You know, I love it here at Utah.
You imagine stringing together a fun season like this year's been, especially these last few weeks.
Could be a college football playoff team.
Yeah,
in
college football
year.
Playoff team. You know, a big thing has been talks of NIL deals. Guys want to, you know, see something, you know, come from that. And, you know, that will be a big role, you know, if guys are able to get some more money in their pocket.
And if guys don't have the chance to go straight to the NFL or, you know, I mean, that's most guys on any roster anywhere in college football, they're not going to go to the NFL. So if they had an NIL deal they could do,
and then spend the rest of the season with their buddies, my heavens.
That's awesome. No, that's so fun.
And then you start your life and with some kind of maybe a little bit of a nest egg or whatever.
Yeah, a little bit of a nest egg. Plus,
we got to get your situationship figured out.
I got to get, that's exactly. No, that's a reason. That's a fantastic reason. I got to figure that out. My brothers, they're in the next level and it's tough and
they're
it's hard.
The next
and
level. I'm like,
so I have a daughter.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
This would be a match. It'd be kind of a match. You've got this. Yeah. You've got some royalty here. You got Mitchell. You got this Mitchell family royalty. You got Kafusi royalty. You got it ticks off all the boxes. She's relatively tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very athletic.
Well, should
we do a dating show next time? We got this extra mic right here and stuff.
We should bring her in.
She's a February special.
She's beautiful.
She's got a missionary coming home, but we could change that.
I've heard a lot of missionaries. Yeah. Don't you worry. that was my favorite thing to hear. I was a missionary too.
Yeah. But would you want me as a father-in-law?
That would be a great time.
See, but the best part is it would have been. If you guys start dating, we have to continue doing this show next year just for that part of it. The second segment of every Players Club show would be like, what'd you guys do last weekend?
Yeah.
Why were you out till 12:45? See, there's a lot of that. All right. Colorado, Buffalo's coming to town. Kyle Whittingham doesn't let you guys overlook anybody. No. I will say we were talking to Coach McBride during Football Friday last week, and he said, "Yeah, but I was at practice this week." Talking about the Oregon week, yeah, but I was at practice this week, and I was at practice a couple weeks ago, and it was very different. He was like, "There is a tone. There was a quiet over practice where there was an intensity during that Oregon week of practice." Do you feel that too? Like, even though you treat every opponent, quote unquote, and every week the same, the prep, you have to know playing the number three team in the country feels a lot different prepping than it does for Colorado.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think, Coach McBride, talking about that, there was a difference. We also felt it as, some of the guys that have been here that lost to Oregon early on, they're saying, let's take it personal. So it felt like a rival kind of personal, like the emotional load, and so I definitely see where that's coming from. That was there for the Oregon prep. It carries over to words, like I said, we got something so great going. It's, start from the day, just rolling off the hill from the practice field. It was the same tone because, Colorado wants to come in, throw a wrench in everything and, screw up.
Ruin senior night.
Yeah. Ruin something that we have so special and worked so hard for.
Well, Colorado wants to try to be Utah's rival. That's what they're trying to do.
Hey.
I hear it's pretty even, right, through the series? Not really, no.
Problem is Colorado and Utah typically.
Probably historically, but.
Historically, yeah. But as of recent.
In the Pac-12, probably.
Pac-12, yeah.
Well, it's you guys are too nice to each other. That's what it's been through.
it's not a real rivalry because you guys like
the Buffaloes nice. And the U's all getting along through the mountain ranges.
I don't know if there was a. It's just, hey, we're the two new teams in the Pac-12. Yeah.
We're just happy to be here. That's fine. Might as well play a game while we're. Uh-huh. How much time during the week does Coach Whittingham spend with the entire team? Like how often do you guys have team meetings and as a whole entire team?
Really, it's the big team meeting is the Monday after a game, or in this case, it was Sunday. We came in Sunday night.
Did any hats get handed out?
Yeah,
we had some
Hit City hats handed out.
Who got a hat this
week? We had Clark Phillips. He had a big hit up the sideline.
Yeah.
And we had Devin Lloyd. He lit up die.
He did. He dropped him.
A dog and dropped him and stuff. Quick. New hats in the crowd for sure.
So the series with Colorado goes like this. It's 32 wins for Utah. 32 wins for Colorado.
I thought I saw that somewhere, yeah.
Now, in the last, since 2012, the Utes have won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times out of the 9 times that they've played since 2012. Hmm. So, 8 out of 9, 4 in a row in the last ones. The only time you guys have lost was that 2016 game there in Boulder.
So do you only get one conversation a week with Coach Whittingham? Because these things about, how to deal with this week and how to handle it and how to handle Thanksgiving, is that all done in one meeting or do you have meetings throughout the week? I'm just curious how your coach,
because I think he's done a phenomenal job of communicating to you guys, and you've responded to it. I was just curious how he does that and when.
So, yeah, the meeting time chunk in the meeting room is the day after the game or the next meeting. It was on Monday or Sunday. He does a great job before practice. After warming up, everyone comes together. And then after practice each day, he goes through. Each day is kind of different. He goes through something else. So, like, we'll go through academic achievements. We'll hear from the equipment staff.
So are you on the practice field then?
On the practice field.
We're all taking a knee.
And Coach Witt has a checklist he goes through to remind us each about everything that's going on. So, yeah,
how much of it do you listen to?
Every bit.
Right.
Eyes on, because Scally's watching you all the time. He's looking for some, you know, guys not
really?
Paying attention. Yeah. But, you know, it's, you know, we have a good time.
What happens if your eyes aren't on?
Oh, it'll get mentioned.
After
we get done, you go to your defensive unit will meet, or the defense will meet, or your position group will meet with your coach and stuff. And, Scott will make a remark saying, hey, like, don't be undressing during my coach is talking.
taking your tape off.
You know,
or all
make
the
sure day. To clap, you know, yeah. when someone is up, you know, being talked about, you know, I could say we do academic achievement. You know, they say so-and-so got A on their big tests or brought their grade up and stuff. And everyone,
Devin Capucci's dating Scott Mitchell's daughter, everybody.
Like, hey, eyes up here.
Everybody clap.
Hey, where's your eyes? Keep your eyes up there.
But Coach Witt does a great job in the hotel. Great job, you know, addressing us, talking to us. I'm having a great, great grand old time.
My daughter she has a missionary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That I'm supposed to say that over the air.
You received like, Dad, a message received. Yeah,
don't get meddle. My personal life.
Don't yeah, meddle.
Just go away.
Look, you've got access to athletes.
You
said you regretted at some point that you didn't
I didn't factor that in. Like I just didn't factor that in.
You got to go the Barton route. The Barton family.
Yeah.
Just amazing, ridiculous genes.
Yeah.
You know?
They've actually talked to me about talking about them on the radio.
Must be this tall to date my daughter. You got to be 6'6 at least. That's what Scott's deal is. All right. We're going to take another break here. We'll come back. I want to jump in on this last part of the Players Club here to talk a little bit about Peter Costelli jumping into the transfer portal. We have a lot to jump into today. Tons to get to. Next hour, you're going to hear Jaren Hall, our conversation with Jaren Hall, BYU's quarterback, in his version of the Players Club. Two very different dudes, two very different teams, and very similar trajectories right now in terms of winning a lot and they're having really, really good years. Obviously, BYU's capped a little bit with where they can go in the postseason versus what Utah could do heading to the Rose Bowl possibly. But we'll take a break here. We'll come back right now. When you purchase a Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat ticket to an upcoming game, you can receive unlimited hot dog, soda, popcorn, nachos, and ice cream, starting as low as $30 a ticket. Yes, you heard me say ice cream in there, too. Visit UtahJazz.com, call 325-2999. That's 325-2999, or buy your Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat tickets right now at UtahJazz.com. More to go. Stay right here with us. 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network continues.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and Utah's Devin Cafusi. Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Scott, this is your pick. This is your pick right here, baby.
Yes, it is.
Little Diddy by Jack and Diane.
John Cougar Mellencamp, Band of the Day. Today's House Band of the Day brought to you by Live Nation. Find out about upcoming concerts, events.
Football star.
Just got to go to livenation.com.
Oh, Jackie's car.
I'm just waiting to see if you had any more behind there. That's good stuff. The Coug. John the Coug Mellencamp. Yeah. I've got a market update here for you too. I got a couple things. We got to jam all this stuff in here when we got the all this going here. So, So our market update brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. Dow Industrial up today, almost 200 points. Nice day on the markets there.
on the Dow, brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. You can be a day trader yourself. Just go give it a shot. Visit TryDayTrading.com for more. Now anybody can be a day trader. TryDayTrading.com. Scott, I'm impressed every week with Devin and Jaren Hall, too, who we'll hear next hour on the Players Club. It's been an interesting deal this year because, you know, I mean, these guys are getting on. And this is like the coolest internship. Like, Devin comes into the studio down from practice, and it's a fun thing to kind of be able to jam with those guys and talk about what's going on in the locker room. And you heard Coach Whittingham during the Utes update there say exactly what Devin did. You can tell it's like a hard decision for, I think, him and certainly a lot of players who are – I think at the beginning of the year, he was leaning toward coming out after this year, just being done. And now all these players are going. I want to get to the Rose Bowl. And if I don't this year, maybe we'll get to the college football playoff. Coach Witt said they're deciding this week. And I know that you have thoughts on this because you came out early and went into the draft your junior year, and there was positives and negatives there, which is what every player is trying to weigh out right now, probably.
See, I think they can't lose in this situation. Like for me, it was our team was terrible. And I was more concerned about, am I going to health-wise make it through a season? I mean, the coverage were pretty bare. And I didn't want
to – I didn't want to
leave. They just fired the head coach. I did not want to leave. So very different circumstances. But what's nice about these players is some of them are going to be playing, you know, on Sundays. I mean, Devin Lloyd, no question. Nick Ford, no question. Those guys will be – Mika Tafua, more than likely.
Is Nick Ford a no question NFL guy?
Oh yeah, I would see, yeah, yeah. He's a guy that can play. But here's it's like, yeah, great for them, right? But for a lot of these other guys, Britton Covey's interesting. Britton Covey's older, went on a mission, so you know his window. If he really wants to see the next level and just experience it, maybe try. Because Britton Covey's super fat. I mean,
do you think he'll get a shot though?
There's a place for Britton Covey in the NFL.
Where? At slot?
And he's got to be in the right. He's got to be in the right. I mean, yeah, look at Cole Beasley with the Bills. I mean, he's a smaller guy or look at, you know, just go to any slot receiver for the New England Patriots.
The past 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a position and he's the guy that could fit in so well right there and he could be a returner.
Everybody is shocked by they get into a game and go, I'm going to light number 18.
Oh, they're, yeah.
And they all think
dealt with that as all the way back when he was a freshman. But the thing that has jumped out at me, this team is still really talented and it's got a lot of guys coming back. I mean, three of the four guys on the defensive line are all underclassmen.
Yeah.
The whole entire secondary underclassmen. I mean, you got to replace an end with guys you've already playing a lot, and Mika Tafua, and you got and Nephi Sewell is an underclassman, and he's a guy. I think Nephi Sewell is a guy. Britton Covey, Nephi Sewell, Brant Keithy. Some of these guys are like, it's a tough decision because you could come back to a team that literally, who knows where the sky is for Utah next year. I mean, they're going to be a better team than they were this year, and I don't necessarily see the Pac-12 just getting marketably better in a year. I just don't. I'm not sure Mario Cristobal is going to be even back at Oregon next year. I mean, he could be in a number of places, and he's a guy that's going to be sought after. And he just has to ask himself, is Oregon a destination job? Is it where? Because he's an East Coast guy. So I think the decision for these players is brutally hard. You can't lose because they come back and if Brant Keithy comes back next year, if Nephi Sewell come back to Utah next year, Utah will be they will be loaded and they will be talented and experienced and good.
Somebody who didn't have a hard time making the decision, Peter Costelli, transfers out. Now this is the interesting part for me, the timing. I know we got to get out to the top of the hour here, but the timing for me is weird that Peter Costelli goes in. It's the most exciting time to ever be a part of the University of Utah football program. And he goes, yeah, I'm out. Why would he do that today?
It's fun if you're playing and you're involved in it. But when you're out, it's like it's the perfect way to just kind of thumb your nose and just say, you don't even have me a part of this and everything's going on great here. So I'm going to make your life kind of miserable.
So Jaquindon Jackson is the backup to that Cam Rising.
And that doesn't mean anything right now.
That's what I'm saying is, like, why would you wait it out? Why are these kids so impatient? Mom get in their ear, tell them they got to do
it? If you're a quarterback at Utah, yeah, or you're a player, you go, you know what? I'm going to get a legitimate shot to play because they open up the competition. I mean, and they really open it up. So I'm a little surprised they left. Cam Rising wasn't from Utah. Cam Rising was at another program. He was at Texas. So I look at this and it's, yeah, the timing's bad. But you know what? Good. Because you're going to get some guys and you're going to lose some guys. You just are.
And if there's even just a little bit of poison in that locker room, some grumpy guys who've got some stuff that they don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
It just seems like a weird year to walk away when the program's gone through what they have. Just shows you how these guys are going through individual things on top of all the team things.
I think part of it is there's a concern. You got to get ahead of this before all the recruiting gets, you know, kind of gets picked up. And, you know, you might get a shot.
You want to get locked up by mid-December so that you can have that scholarship offer somewhere else.
Right.
Well, we've seen that the grass is not always greener, but we've seen it work out.
It does.
So I hope it works out for Peter Costelli, too. Bummer for Utah. That's a high recruit.
He was good. I mean, he looked really good in the spring. I mean,
so I'm like, just wait it out, kid. Wait your turn. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. Our Players Club continues now with BYU's Jaren Hall next hour. You don't want to miss it right here. More to go. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
Players Club.
The Zone's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU as BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins Unrivaled. For an insider look at the Cougar football team, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The best station.
Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome on in. It is the Players Club right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, and current BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joining us on the horn. Jaren, you escaped Georgia, hopefully injury-free. How do you feel?
Good. A couple bumps and bruises, but that's how it goes.
How was it traveling that far across the country? And it's kind of an out of the way place. I mean, I'm just curious. Was it hard to fly into wherever you flew into and trying to get to the stadium, the hotel? How was all the travel for the game?
Yeah, it was fine. We actually went a day early. We went on Thursday just because of the East Coast time change. So that helped us out, kind of adjust to the clock, taking us forward a couple hours. And so it wasn't that bad to adjust. I mean, the plane ride was a lot further than any we've done all year. And then the hotel we stayed at was about an hour 15 away from the field. So we had a nice long bus ride before the game, which was kind of an adjustment. So, but I felt like we did a good job. I mean, the coaches did a good job of scheduling out the travel and kind of meetings around everything to kind of help us get ready for the game. So it was a little different, but we managed, made it work.
It was a different setup, too. I mean, it was like definitely the smallest stadium you guys have probably played in a long time for any BYU players. But stadium was quite chock full of BYU fans, at least the tickets they could get their hands on. Will you please at least clear up some of the things? We've heard tale of burritos being thrown. Were you injured by a burrito, or did you even see the burritos getting thrown at you?
I was not, and I didn't. I guess it was throwing a Kalani, I think, in the end of the first half or something like that. So I don't think any players were hit, and I don't think he was hit, but it came right past him. I think it's how the story goes.
That's just a single burrito then. It wasn't like a burrito.
It might have been a couple. Like I said, I don't know. I just know he talked about how he almost got hit by one. So.
Do you know if it was a vegetable burrito? Or what kind of burrito was it? We're trying to figure this out.
I hope not. I'm gonna waste your money on a vegetable burrito.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
See, now we're thinking along the same lines.
How was it coming off of a bye week and then playing and the long travel? What kind of impact do you think it had? Were you guys fresh? What's your assessment of coming out of the bye?
Yeah, I thought we did a good job of refocusing, you know, pretty quickly. You know, especially offensively, right from the get go, so you might be picked right up where we left off. I think we just managed well last week. We had some really good practices. Then the coaches gave us a couple of days off to kind of get our bodies right. And then this last week leading up to the game, had really good practices. Practice again Friday, actually, when we got there, went to the high school field and kind of ran around to kind of cut up the time we had off to make sure our legs were fresh and we were feeling good. But I thought we did well coming off a bye week. You know, I think in that situation, it could easily be a trap for a lot of teams coming into a place like that, you know, a ranked opponent. goes into a smaller stadium with home crowd advantage to their team. You know, you can easily lose one there. But I felt like we just kind of stuck to our guns and played pretty clean football.
Well, your guns are, and all year they've been, Tyler Allgeier out of the backfield. He ended up with 25 carries. I was glad to see him get a lot of touches in that second half. It takes a load off of you to be able to go, okay, good. Tyler's going to get the ball again. And he's, you know, he carried the ball for another 5.5, 6 yards per carry. So talk a little bit about what that's like being able to say, this is our horse that we're going to hand this ball off to, and he can just, and he can kind of take over a game with, if he's moving the ball.
It really changes the dynamics of an offense. It takes you from a good offense to a great offense, you know, with have a guy like Tyler back there running the ball. And then you have Peeney filling in as well, getting a lot of reps and helping us score a touchdown there as well. They both run super hard, but I mean, Tyler, 25 carries, it's not easy to do. And he does it, you know, night in and night out. Mm-hmm. So he's always carrying our team and making the difference there. So at this point, it's kind of like what you expect from him. But at the same time, you realize the game of football is hard, and what he does is absolutely incredible. So, I mean, he puts his body out there every night, and he just gives it everything he has for this team.
You always learn something from each game. I'm curious what you took out of this game, what you learned, what you can use to help yourself in the future.
Yeah, just the importance of taking care of the ball, the turnover margin. In a game like that, again, referencing, you know, the home field advantage they had, it could be easily a trap game. They played they're much better than their record was, you know. So I think if we kind of accompany a little bit of the slouch you went through in the middle of the game was offense with a couple turnovers, I mean, that game could have got really interesting real fast. But we did what we've done well all year. We took care of the ball, and that's why we're able to, you know, walk away with a comfortable win. And so for us, we talked about it again today, is just the importance of taking care of the ball, winning the turnover margin. And that's really the biggest thing that we took away from that game.
You threw the ball less than 30 times. You completed 17 out of 29 passes, and yet you still went over the 300-yard mark. Those were chunk plays to your big play receivers. It seemed like, you know, Keanu Hill getting in on the action with a couple of catches, but for almost 70 yards. Samson and Puka both had big, big plays. Same thing with Gunner. Big chunk plays, and that plays to you guys' strength, especially to try to kind of take away another team's ability to slow you guys down at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, you see that a lot when you have a running back, again, like Tyler and like Peeney back there with our offensive line getting as much push as they do. Teams have a choice they got to make. It's either we're going to stop the run and sell out on that end, which most teams have been doing recently, but then it kind of leaves them exposed over the top with our playmakers outside. And so it makes the defense have to think of which one are they going to give up. And, you know, recently they've been playing the run. And then with that, you know, we can open up the pass and go down the field. And then once they start respecting the pass, then we get Tyler involved again. So it's just a matter of realizing what the defense is doing. And A-Rod does a great job of taking advantage of that.
Is there any challenge, or did you guys have any kind of challenge this week with an opponent that you're heavily favored against? And did you feel pressure to kind of score a lot of points against them and have maybe a sexy win, or, you know, a statement kind of win? Did you ever feel that at any time during the game or leading up to the game?
No, I don't think there was ever any pressure or kind of nerves about that. I think it was more just some urgency amongst the offense. You know, the last 2 weeks, you know, including the bye week, we're able to talk about, you know, how we're finally getting in the groove, and we're just excited to get out there and keep going. So that was kind of the message we relayed amongst ourselves and we got from the coaches is, you know, we're finally finding our groove. Let's not let the bye week slow us down. Let's keep on going. I thought we did a good job getting off to a quick start, getting the game, and then again at halftime. So some of those things are still there. Obviously, you know, we got to clean some things up again. But, no, I thought we did well. Just staying composed, playing with urgency, having energy, because, you know, we could have very well easily, you know, lost that urgency and been a little pressed to think about the situation going in there, being ranked, and so on and so forth. But I thought we were very mature about it and just took care of our business.
What helps you get in a groove? Is it, do you like to throw the ball early, get a pass, you know, first, second play of the game? Do you like to get hit, or do you like to, you know, have?
No, I don't like getting hit.
You don't like it. You know, it's just kind of some guys like to just get hit, just get that hit out of the way.
Yeah, I love to complete a pass early for sure. You just throw a pass, just get a feel for how the ball's coming off your hand. But honestly, for us, we haven't really had any tendencies, whether we throw the ball early, run the ball. We've kind of mixed it up. But as a quarterback for me, for sure, you know, once I get that first ball thrown out of my hand, I usually get a feel for things, feel for how the defense is moving, how quick they're playing, and just a feel for the game. So the sooner you get a ball out of your hand thrown, for sure, the better. But, I mean, again, a guy like Tyler, it's tempting just to hand it off, you know, every play to start out the game. So you can kind of do whatever in that regard.
You guys have won 20 games in the last two seasons, which is quite a remarkable accomplishment. Go 11 last year. You have the opportunity to win 11 again this year. What has been just, again, I mean, you guys are 11 games into the season. I can't believe we're already almost to the end of it. But what is it that you guys have talked about as a team? And what's the thing that you will remember, I guess, with this season?
The thing that constantly always comes up with our different wins is just how versatile of a team we are in regards to how we're able to win so many different games. You know, we can win games 19 to 21. We can win games 66 to 49. Or we can win games 34 to 17, you know, whatever it is. And then you grind games out like at the beginning of the year against Utah and Arizona State, against really good defenses and good offenses. I mean, we just won so many different games. It hasn't really been a consistent stretch of how games turn out, you know what I mean? So just being able to stay locked in all four quarters, I think, is what it speaks to, just our focus from the first snap to the last snap. And that speaks to the way the coaches prepare us and the type of dudes we have on our team.
Going into this week, you go to USC. What's kind of been the, I don't know, early vibe or early message from your coach about what this week looked like?
Yeah, don't give in to what the media says about what their record is or how many games they've won and lost. This is one of the most talented teams in college football, and they always have been historically. It's no different this year. So watching tape, every guy you see on the field looks like a dude out there that could be very well playing at the next level. And so for us, it's a matter of recognizing that, but also realizing we're a good team as well. So as long as we prepare to play against the best USC team, you know, if that's our focus, then we'll be okay, you know, but we got to go out and execute and just keep our edge.
What about on a week like this where, you know, it feels a little bit different? There's kind of the holiday vibe to it. So how do you guys make sure, and how do the coaches make sure you guys stay dialed in before you have to head out of town down to LA?
Just, I mean, all they can do is really tell us to stay focused. Other than that, it's up to us. So I think as a team, just emphasizing to each other the importance of being professional about it. What's at risk for us right now? You know, what potentially could happen, good or bad, after this week. You know, we don't ever like looking to the future. But in that regard, you know, those games are important for us. And it's the last game of the season. You know, it's the one we'll remember from the regular season as we go into the offseason. So playing the Coliseum, all the history there, it's just a big game. And I think that alone has a lot of guys amped up and excited. But just realizing, you know, it's football is always around the holidays, but you can make that, you know, to your advantage. Enjoy some good food with your family, but then, you know, realize we got a big game to go win. And if we can win this game, it'll feel even better, you know, thinking about the holiday season. So just being professional about it, I think, is how we approach that.
Did you guys, I mean, be honest here, did you look at this team and say, we could win double-digit wins again this year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the goal, right? Again, you know, out and about, we don't ever talk. We'd like to talk about all those things. But as you get closer to the end of the year and the last game, for sure, when we realize how big of an accomplishment that is in college football in today's age, how good teams are. So it's just extra motivation for us.
Got the 14th ranking that goes up to 13, and the college football rankings that come out this week, all that. Do you listen to any of that? Or, I mean, because it does matter in terms of, you know, if there is a possibility of an even bigger bowl game, and that's something that you guys don't have control over, but is that something you think about, like, man, it would be nice to get in that number 12, number 11 slot before the end of the season, maybe put ourselves in that position?
I mean, yeah. But honestly, as a team, I think we're pretty mature about not talking about it too often and realizing that, you know, no matter how close we are or what could happen, we got to spend all of our time focused on this game because that'll take care of itself. You know what I mean? So I'm sure, you know, every now and then you'll come across it and you might mention it, but I think just as a general feel, you know, we just try to keep ourselves focused on the next game and, you know, letting whoever decides those things decide that based off of how we play.
Jaren Hall, Players Club, got more to go here on the program with him kind of getting a little bit more into getting ready for USC. I'm, you know, in years past, that final game of the season's been hit and miss for BYU. I'm really glad they're taking on USC. It's a bummer that USC's not as good of a team as they've been in the past to kind of get that feel for this team. But you know, look, this is one of the blue chip programs, Scott. And you know, if you can show out against a USC team, even in a year that they're struggling, you know, we're looking at the bowl projections today, and most of the bowl projections have USC going to a bowl, which they would have to win their last two games to be able to be bowl eligible, right? The Pac-12 doesn't allow any losing,
no,
you know, records to get in, and they'd have to get to 6-6 to be there, and that means they'd have to win against BYU, and they'd have to win against Cal in that extra game on the 4th, and so that's kind of nice for them. They're playing the same weekend. They go, we want to be playing that first weekend in December at the end of the year. They thought it was going to be a Pac-12 championship game. It's just a replay game against
Cal.
Well,
you know, it's good, like you know, vision board, you know, like for future, you know.
This first weekend in December.
We want to be playing in the first week of December. I can see that. Yeah.
I just don't, you know, I'm not sure what this game's going to be. It's a weird one because USC's still going to have insane athletes. And they're still going to have guys playing at the Coliseum, you know, for one of their last times ever. And you're still going to – yeah, they don't have Drake London. Jackson Dart is going to be like, this team recruited me, and they're from my home state. All these guys know who I am. I got to show up and try to play this thing.
Here's what I think happens in games like this, typically. And it's not always, but maybe most of the time. If you give a team a reason to stay around that's ready to have the season end, like USC, they'll stay around.
If you give USC a cookie, they're going to want to get the milk later.
That's right. And if you kind of crush their will early, they're pretty much
toast. That's it. I feel like you're kind of formulating some of your keys for the Utah-Colorado game.
Of course I am. Yeah. And that is a key. Yeah, it's you really got to break their will early. You got to give them no reason to have any hope that they
well, that's why that Georgia Southern game was a slow start, I think, for BYU too. Is they go, these guys were juiced up. They're playing the number 14 team at their house, right? And for the last time for these seniors, you know, down there, and they gave them just a tiny window, and they jumped through it, you know. And so I think that's exactly right. BYU's got to score a lot of
points. So if you're a mature team and a team that just you know you just. As they say, respect the process, and you go through your same routines every week, and you get yourself dialed in and ready to play. It doesn't matter, and good teams will do that. Good teams will just take care of their business week in and week out. And I think for BYU, I think they're a team that's understood that, and they certainly understood it a year ago, and they've shown that this past season where they've really won, other than the Boise State game. You know, the games they were supposed to win, and then some. And so I expect BYU to take care of its own business on Saturday.
I'm going to roll out some of the numbers. Jaren Hall's had a nice season. This guy hadn't played in a couple of games. Didn't play in a couple of games this year, but goes he's 64% completion on the season, 169 for 264. 64% completion rating, 2,300 yards, 18 touchdowns and 3 picks. Yeah, he's just been extremely efficient.
Jaren Hall's gotten
better through the year.
Jaren Hall is a kid that's probably primed to really have a great season next year. You're not going to have Algier. You're going to be more heavy on throwing.
He kind of hinted that he didn't know what he's going to do in the offseason. I think he'll be down to leave early.
Who, Algier?
No, Hall.
Oh, Jaren.
He's got to stay.
No, Jaren. Jaren's career would pretty much be over if he left right now. I don't know that he'd get a real opportunity. It's not that he can't. It's not that he just needs another year, and he could really have a good a good turn at it if he has another year. And I'm sure people will talk to him about it because he's just primed next year to play really well. Aaron Roderick stays as the coordinator. You have all those receivers back. You'll get the tight ends more involved. They'll be throwing the ball a lot more next year. And Jaren will probably be more comfortable doing that next year as
His
well.
His quarterback rating, he's 11th in the country in quarterback rating.
Yeah.
I mean, and what the quarterback rating is, what it really tells you the most is that he's efficient. I mean, he's completing a lot of his passes, and he's not throwing a bunch of interceptions. He hasn't thrown an interception in six games. He's thrown 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions the past 5 games. He's had a very efficient
year. He comes back to that all the time. I said, what did you learn this week? What new thing did you learn?
I took care of the football.
You just got to take care of the football. I just reinforced
that's
in my brain.
That's not a bad one to
– No, it's you know, I guess I want more detail. I want something more interesting than just taking care of the football.
You should tell him that next week.
Was there a coverage or was there a situation or was there something that you just go, oh, wow, okay, that kind of sunk in my head this week and it was a little different.
I'm really interested We're gonna get out and we're gonna hear some more of Jaron's discussion about getting ready for USC. We bring up Jackson Dart, and so you want to hear that. More to go right here on Unrivaled. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone Sports Network. Stay right here with us.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club.
Great play.
With Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and BYU's Jaron Hall.
Throws for the end zone. It is caught in the end zone.
Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, Jaron Hall, BYU quarterback, joining us here. Final week of the regular season approaching as BYU is going to be taking on USC down in L.A. Massive game. It's been on the schedule for quite some time, and what's interesting about that two-game series that was put on the schedule is BYU gets the one 2 years ago now. At home in one of the more interesting games that we've an overtime game where the crowd storms the field the week after the Tennessee win, and then now going down to LA and the possibility of going 2-0 in this home and home. So Jaron, what do you see right off the bat? What's the film look like with this USC team? And you talked about the athletes. There's a massive thing that even I watched a lot of that UCLA game, and I thought the same thing of, yeah, they're losing this game, but man, all these guys are fast, are big, are strong, and it's a much different vibe than the team you're facing down at Georgia Southern last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, all the measurables are there. You look at them, you just think, yeah, that's a top-notch program in the country, and it always has been. So you got to prepare to play against the best talent there is. You got to look behind there. Or look beyond the record they have right now. All talented teams, they can go through those spurts. You know, we've gone through it at BYU before with good players. So it happens. It's part of football. But we just got to look past that, be mature enough to realize if they come out, play their best game, they'll be a hard team to beat. So we got to be at our best. We got to be prepared and ready to go.
How do you handle Thanksgiving? How do you handle holiday? What's your practice schedule like? But also, how do you handle it personally?
Yeah, so practice schedule from a team standpoint, we'll practice in the morning, you know, versus the afternoon, our usual schedule. Practice in the morning, have a shorter practice, get in, get out, and then go spend the rest of the day with our families, you know, or with teammates if guys are from out of state. And just have time to kind of relax and just get our minds off of football for a couple minutes. Just kind of enjoy the time with family. And then when the night's over, we'll get right back to it the next day. We'll travel out to USC, have another practice there. To kind of make up for the time off that we had Thursday and kind of split up the 48 hours until that Saturday night kickoff, get our legs going again. So that's how we'll do it as a team, our schedule. And for me, it's just, you know, just realizing, you know, just got to be professional. I mean, it's my fourth year going through the schedule, practicing on a Thanksgiving. So I feel like I'm kind of used to it by now. You enjoy the time with your family, but, you know, there's a lot of Thanksgivings to come. So, but right now, just relish the moment playing college football around the holidays and make the most of it.
What's the Hall Thanksgiving food that you would put up against anybody else's Thanksgiving food? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a special side that mom or dad makes, something that you have to have on Jaron's plate for Thanksgiving.
Oh, my dad's, he makes like this really sweet honey ham, pineapple honey ham. It's absolutely amazing. Just juiced out the max. Crazy. It goes crazy, man.
So you guys good. You guys do a ham and a turkey, or is the turkey out?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. We do a ham, and then wow. Other cousins and grandparents and stuff, they'll usually bring the turkey. So we just do a ham, and then someone else brings the turkey. And then my favorite side dish is just candy yams and the sweet potato pie that my dad makes. That's a plate right there.
I think this is funny because Alex is on this mission to like eliminate certain side dishes he thinks are non-essential for Thanksgiving.
We think stuffing is way better than it is, and it's not. We have better sides.
Horrible.
We have, the only reason we make it once a year. If it was good, we'd make it all the time. It'd be on.
No,
think about when you
stuffing guy
exactly
myself,
so when I'll you have those roast potatoes with your Sunday roast, but you do it 10 times a year. It's because we like it.
But he likes sweet potatoes. So does Devin Kafusi.
You guys win 2-1. It's fine.
So of course this is Thanksgiving, and there's a lot to be grateful for. What is the thing you're most grateful for about this season?
I'm grateful that, you know, I've been able to remain healthy for the most part. I'm grateful for my teammates that have been able to remain healthy, you know, for those that have taken care of our guys that are injured. I'm grateful for all of them to taking care of them. I'm just grateful for how close our team has gotten to one another throughout the year. It's always interesting to see the dynamics as you lose a big wave of guys and new guys fill their places and you just kind of find that chemistry. And just enjoying the moments in the locker room outside of football when we're just kind of chopping it up and playing ping pong or talking, or watching movies, whatever it is. It's just a good time to be around the guys you're around every day. And then just to share success on the field. So this is a culmination of those things. For me personally, and I know as a team, the things we're grateful for.
You know, that's something that I think Devin Kafusi talked a little bit about that too. He goes, yeah, you never know what a locker room is going to totally be like, you know, when a season starts. Mm-hmm. And obviously the things that Utah has gone through, it's pretty galvanizing as a team. But, you know, I was thinking about that. And so what is this? Is this like a fun locker room? Is it one of the more fun locker rooms you've been in? Is it like a serious locker room? Everybody takes their job super serious, or is it a good balance? Where are you guys at in that locker room, and how much fun?
I mean, good balance, but for sure, probably more fun. When you're in the locker room, there's not much to be serious about. You know what I mean? When you step across the lines, or you're in the film room, that's when you kind of get serious. But we're in the locker room, man. We're just ourselves. Dudes yelling, screaming at each other over ping pong or shuffleboard, dudes getting after it. I mean, it's a good time. It's really fun. Lots of laughs.
How much conversation do you guys have about, like, next year? And, you know, when you're playing ping pong, whatever, and just, like, you know, how many guys are talking about, I want to come back, I want to go on with my life, because you kind of have that extra year because of last season, and a lot of guys may go on or could stay or whatever, but how much of a conversation do you have about it? All that.
Yeah, I mean, this time of the year starts to go around. You know, you got the guys applying for different master's programs or med school or whatever it is that they're planning on doing. The guys that, you know, think they're going to be done with football. And then you got those who want to continue to play or move on and play in the NFL. So there's a lot of different side conversations this time of year starting to pop up. But I think we're all on a pretty good level of understanding that we still, you don't want to finish out right. But it takes a special, mature kind of dude to have those conversations and still stay locked in. And right. I think that's what's cool about BYU, you know, is you, those type of dudes that can do that. So it makes it enjoyable to be able to talk about those future things, past things, and then also focus on our work.
You've been you talked about how you've been doing these practices for 4 years. You've practiced on Thanksgiving for 4 years, so you've kind of figured it out. On the flip side, at USC, you've got Jackson Dart, who was one of the best recruits out of the state of Utah, going to USC out of Corny Canyon High School. Kalani talked a little bit this week about how good of an athlete he was and how, you know, BYU did their part trying to recruit him. But, you know, when you see him on film and you see what he's doing and you see that he's young and he's getting thrown in there already and has already been able to make some plays, what do you see that he does well? And maybe what are some of the things that you look at and you go, I envy that about him? Or what is it that you see in Jackson Dart's game?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him a ton. And I know they've had their little rotation where they bounce dudes in and out. But what I have seen from Jackson is just how confident he is in throwing the ball. I mean, that's what he did at Corner Canyon when I watched him there a lot when he was in high school. And I had a chance of working out with him a couple of times in California with John. So I've gotten to see him work out, you know, up close and personal. See the way he throws the ball. The dude's got great mechanics. Just looks so effortless out there. So it's just fun to watch him, you know, throw the ball around and just do what, you know, I love doing as a quarterback too, which is throwing the ball. So I'm excited to see him play if he gets the nod for this week. I don't know how their situation pulls up for them and their coaches, but Jackson's a stud, and I'm excited for his future at USC and moving on from there.
What are you going to need to do well this week in order to have success and win on Saturday?
We'll have to continue to run the ball, establish our run game, because that's where everything begins. You know, it opens up. And if it's tough sledding, you know, then we're relying on our dudes to make their plays outside. So it usually just depends on how it starts. You know, you might have a Baylor start where it's tough to run. You got to throw the ball, or you might start like a lot of other games where we run the ball really well and the pass opens up from it. So I think we just got to be balanced and we got to take care of the ball. That's what it comes down to, bottom line. Win the turnover battle. We go make plays. You know, when we're able to get in the red zone, we're really well. So making the most of our possessions, getting the ball across the 50 into the red zone. I think that's kind of our recipe. And you never know where it could go from there.
Another week in the books with Jaren Hall and the Players Club, brought to you by UCCU, love where you bank. I'm loving these. Every week, Scott, they've gotten better and better, and I'm excited to see what next year, you know, what we end up doing if Jaren ends up coming back, being a part of the Players Club, if Devin ends up coming back, being a part of the Players Club. It's fun to get to know these players through the entire season. I mean, we're 11 games in now, and we just it's a cool thing for us to be able to get to know these guys. And I'm glad that they're taking advantage of the NIL stuff, and it lets them do their thing without having to have, you know, the school in their ear going, you can and cannot say this or do this or do that. And these guys are themselves, and it's fun to hear. So,
and I hope that fans appreciate what this is and the insight that they're getting into the access to these players, and hopefully they can appreciate what this is.
Jaren's baby threw up on his wife during the season. I mean, my heavens!
And also just the we get to know who they are as people. And I think when you're a fan, when you kind of know someone, you start cheering for them a little bit more, or you pay a little bit more attention to it. I know I have even you've even Tom commented about Devin from the times you've watched, it's like you're watching him play in the game when
my
he's
kids
in there.
Follow him because they're like, hey, that's the guy you talk with every week. The guy, because he likes doing that. He likes being a part of it. And I think with some veteran, these are two veteran guys. It's fun to see these personalities come out a little bit more. We've got a couple more weeks with them now that we've got the Pac-12 championship game and bowl games as well with these young men. So we're looking forward to it. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to hear a little bit of what the players this week had to say, and Kalani Sitake at the weekly press conference. Malik Moore, who's from Southern California, talks a little bit about hoping the fans will get there. We'll hear from Kalani talking about USC, how much talent they've got. He'll talk also about Jackson Dart and the time that they tried to recruit him. More to go right here. We've got a lot to talk about today right around the corner right here on 97.5 1280. The Zone Sports Network.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club.
Great play.
With Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and BYU's Jaren Hall.
Throws for the end zone. It is caught in the end zone.
Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
There you go, Scott. Scott picked the band of the day, and it's one we can both agree on. John the Cougar Mellencamp. There you go.
It used to just be John Cougar.
John Coug. Oh, and then he married the Mellencamp lady? And then,
I guess.
How's that word?
I don't know what it is.
He's like, I want to take my dad's name on.
It was like a marketing ploy.
To add a last name that nobody knew what was going on?
Yeah.
John Cougar was fine. You had to add Mellencamp. John Cougar Mellencamp, Band of the Day. House Band of the Day brought to you by Live Nation. For all your concert information, hit them up at livenation.com.
That's so good.
Come on now.
Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. Sometimes love don't feel like it should. Make
it. There you go, Scott. Good way to wrap up the old Players Club with BYU's Jaren Hall. Listening to some of the comments that his coach had to say this week. First, I want to get out to Malik Moore, who's from Southern California, one of BYU's standout defensive backs. And here's what he had to say about being from L.A. and having watched a couple games in the Coliseum growing up, and what he expects from BYU fans in L.A. this weekend.
Whenever I lived in Cali, it was everyone's dream school to go to. USC was like the school that everybody loved, everybody wanted to get an offer from. I was originally from California, so USC wasn't really my team. It was really Tennessee, but I don't know. USC is a good team. The Coliseum's a historic place. It'll be cool to play in that arena. And with it being in LA, hopefully Cougar Nation fills it all out, and it's a good show out for us all.
I thought he's not going to fill it out as USC fans.
I wonder how much.
What's the deal with that?
I wonder how much having professional football come back to L.A., what kind of impact that has on USC. Because before that, they were kind of a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that they
That's
are.
That's true. But like the sexy thing now, like from a celebrity sports standpoint, is get one of those suites on field level at SoFi, right?
Right.
Because it used to be. Oh, who were we talking to that was like, oh, it was Yogi Roth last week when he goes, you know, what's interesting is a lot of people thought USC became kind of that Hollywood thing. Hollywood came to them when they were winning.
Right.
You know, and it was like Will Ferrell, Snoop Dogg, all these guys want to be on the sidelines.
That's how LA is. It's very shallow. Just win. If you win, we'll show up.
Then I'll show up.
And we'll show up like in style. Like it's not just showing up. Like they have a product. There's a way about things. No, they have a production kind of, to show up. But if you lose, it's like, yeah, you're dead to me. You don't even matter anymore.
Things I hate about USC is most of it. But man, I love that fight song. Man, I love the Trojan Band fight song.
I hate that song.
They have an abbreviated version that they play on first downs. It's just that short version like that. And they bring like a 9-piece band. When they played BYU and I was going there as a student, and they're playing BYU, you got Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. They run it up on BYU every 2 seconds of the first down, and so they play that abbreviated fight song. Man, how they've fallen from grace. Considering now that they're fighting for the opportunity. They got to win out their last two games against BYU and then Cal the week after to go to a bowl game. And that bowl game, Scott, what did you say it was? The Gasparilla Bowl.
Gasparilla.
What is a Gasparilla? Is that like sarsaparilla?
No, I don't know what it is.
Made with gasoline?
It's a company, I think.
I'm hoping it's a
company.
Does
it mean something? I don't know.
It's not even worth looking up. It's a bowl that's not even worth finding out about. That's what I have found out about this. Here's Kalani Sitake talking about Jackson Dart. This is a guy they recruited. This is a guy that they probably knew weren't going to have come to BYU. But nevertheless, they threw their hat in the ring. But Jackson Dart went the way of the L.A. And here's what he had to say about him.
Yeah, great player. We recruited him, and he's got a wonderful family. He's been trained really well. He's got great football IQ, good presence on the field. He can hurt you with his arm, and he can run as well. So put that all together and surround him with physical, athletic O-line and capable receivers and ball carriers. They have every bit of our attention. And knowing that kid and being around him and talking to him in the recruiting process, you know he'll be ready for this. He's a big-time player.
He did that, the eye paint that he does, the, like, straight down? I can't remember where he got it. Is it out of Braveheart? I don't know. But he's been doing it since high school. And it goes straight down. The eye black goes straight down that right side. I'll tell you, that doesn't look dumber. It doesn't look dumber than when you're down 62-33 against UCLA and you're on the sideline with that.
It's just
with the eye black on.
Look, fashion, a statement, you know, the thing over your arm, the arm
Nick
sleeve.
Nick Ford does like the full ultimate warrior.
Everyone has their, yeah. In the NFL, you can't get away with stuff like that.
Do they wrangle that stuff? You can't do it at all?
Yeah, they'll fine you for all that.
They will.
Stuff. Yeah.
When Jackson Dart goes to the NFL, he can't do the eye black.
I think eye black underneath your eyes would be annoying to me. Like, I hated that because you like sweat and you wipe your eyes and it's just like, and then what does it really do? I mean, really, what does it
remember
really
the whole
do?
Thing was, it helps you. It absorbs that light under your eyes so it doesn't get in your eyes. Baseball players always wearing them. I never understood the
light
science
doesn't
of
get
it.
In your eyes. Wouldn't you prefer to have light in your eyes?
Your shiny
so you could
cheeks.
See?
Your shiny cheeks don't.
You get a little glare or something?
We're going to start getting people going, you don't know the science behind eye black? How dare you? My kid puts crosses under his eyes. He has no idea why. I'm like, what are you doing? And then he sees Tyler Allgeier does it, and he goes, oh, there you go. It's a very popular thing now. I'm like, oh, okay. You dedicating this game to anybody in particular? My big religious, almost 13-year-old? Sure.
I think what will be interesting in this game with USC is just where is USC? Not from when Utah played earlier in the year, it felt like there was Drake London, and that was about it. And the rest of the guys didn't feel like they were anything super special. And
I'll tell you where they're
Jaren
at. It's irrelevant right now, right?
Jaren kept saying, man, there's dude here, dude there. I'm not sure there are. And I'm really curious to see, you know, kind of how BYU fares against them because
this has got to partly
USC,
be why.
USC has not scared anybody.
It's got to partly be why Clay Helton lost his job where they're like, hey, you were supposed to bring in all the best dudes, you know, since we've got to have dudes here. And I don't think he was necessarily bringing them all the best ones in. Certainly wasn't getting the best out of them.
Well, there's, you know, they feel like the best players in California are in the SEC now. I mean, that's where they feel like they are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but I'll tell you where they are. You're like, I want to see where they're at after I see this game. They're irrelevant. They're totally irrelevant.
Malik Moore was saying, you know, that's kind of the choice. there's a pecking order, USC and then everybody else.
Yeah, you start there.
And I don't think that's the case. I think in the right situation it might be the case, but right now it's not the case. The best players are not going to USC.
But you know how quickly that could change. They have a little turnaround.
New York Bennett.
If they have a little bit of a turnaround, and that momentum shifts right back to Southern California again.
Do you know where I think USC got hurt? I think they got hurt when they got penalized and they lost those scholarships for those years. I don't think they've ever really recovered from that. And that was probably just right after Pete Carroll.
It was. Reggie Bush had the Heisman Trophy. Yeah.
And they were down, and they just never quite got the same athletes back there.
I said it yesterday, and then where did all the rumors keep going today? That Mario Cristobal might be that name in Florida to replace Dan Mullen.
It makes a lot of sense.
He might have won his last game with Oregon already. I just cannot see them. If they start getting all those rumors of him going to some other place, I know he's going to say he's focused. But Oregon State's out for blood this week. Washington State, if Washington State wins this weekend and Oregon loses, Wazoo's in the dang Pac-12 championship game.
And that's really what's going to happen.
That's insane.
That's what's going to happen.
So that's more of a possibility than Wazoo losing and Oregon State.
No, it's just because it's a Pac-12. I mean, that's why
you have to expect the unexpected. Yes,
that's normal in the Pac-12.
Find the chaos.
Dysfunction is our normal.
Is that what it says in the Rose Bowl? Yeah. The Rose Bowl featuring the Pac-12. Dysfunction is our normal. Brought to you by Vizio.
Well, it's the Pac-12 Conference of Champions. Dysfunction is our normal.
Dysfunction is our normal. They just have that as the tagline.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the Pac-12. Dysfunction is our normal. Please invite us to the Rose Bowl. Let me see here. Hey, the Maui Jim Invitational. It's happening in Las Vegas, by the way. Wisconsin had a 20-point lead at the half over Houston. Number 12 Houston. I said, ooh, these number 12 teams are struggling this year. 15 seconds left. They're up 2 in this one. We're anticipating also in the next hour we're going to jump into the next iteration of the college football playoff show that's going to go on, and then we're going to get an idea of what those rankings are, so we'll roll those out for you as well. Plus, what the NIL stuff has done for these collegiate athletes, you know, it's been very interesting to watch how some of these small schools and some of these players who don't have a very big name are finding local agencies that'll put them in commercials, and I cannot believe it's not happening more here in the state of Utah. Next hour, we got Tim Lacombe, our Jazz insider, going to jump on here with us. The coach is going to break down a little bit of that Jazz loss by one last night with that waning seconds three-pointer that was the dagger against the Memphis Grizzlies here at Vivint Smart Home Arena. We'll come back. More to go right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. It's the Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled right here, 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback in front of me. I'm Alex Keery. We have the college football playoff rankings show right in front of us. And I'll just go right through it here. Arkansas 25, down 4 spots with their 4th loss of the year. Losing to Alabama.
How are you 4 losses, Arkansas, and you're still in the top 25?
They lost to Alabama, so they feel like, it went away. All you know is that Utah is not in the 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, and they're also at least top 15 because in the college football playoff, they just rolled out Utah's number 19 there.
19.
I thought they should have gone up to 17.
Yeah.
That's where they went. They went to 16 in the AP poll. Utah goes up 4 spots. They are number 19 in the college football playoff rankings at 8-3 on the year after that big win over Oregon. NC State is 20. Wake Forest is 18, just in front of Utah. They went down 8 spots with their losses.
Yeah, they took a tumble.
And you might as well put them in front of put Utah in front of them if you're talking about how good of a team they really are. Pitt 17, Iowa 16, and so those right now get you to your top 15 here. And what's really cool about this, Scott, is it's good to be talking about these about local teams in the college football playoff rankings at this time of year when you have 11 games into the season for BYU, 11 games into the season for Utah, and Utah has a chance to keep just jumping up there. And you're going to see massive – the most movement you're going to see in this college football playoff rankings is going to be in the next 2 weeks, because the biggest games are going to be played in those conference and those conference championship games and in these rivalry games at the end of the year. So you're going to see massive movement over the next 2 weeks, and you can only see Utah going up if they keep on that trajectory.
Well, and you play the conference championship game in the Pac-12. It's on a Friday night. It's the only game in town. And everyone across the country is going to see it. It's not a late start. You know, it's 5 o'clock, so it's actually a game that's, you know, that people will pay attention to. But this is the stuff that I've talked about for a long time, and you have teams in the national conversation, and we're sitting here watching this. You have Utah and BYU having a healthy discussion in the national conversation. That's what you want.
Texas A&M is 15. They're up one spot. Wisconsin is at 14. They're up one spot. That's where BYU was last week. This week, BYU rings in at number 13 in the college football playoff, going up one spot. Michigan State sits in front of BYU after that 56-7 loss to Ohio State. They went down five spots. Oregon went down eight spots to number 11. So that's your top. That's your 11 through 15 now. Oregon is 11. Michigan State 12. BYU 13. Wisconsin 14. Texas A&M 15.
And those are big falls for Michigan State and Oregon. I mean, Oregon.
And the reality is that Michigan State, you look at it and you kind of go, yeah, you probably could have gone down a couple more slots after that performance.
Yeah.
And maybe Oregon too, you know? But I think that was the idea, was Michigan State had one loss. Oregon had one loss. If they were to lose, they were going to be those placeholders probably right in front of BYU. In those rankings, and BYU did end up going one spot to number 13 in the college football playoff.
And if you're Utah and you're just looking at the college football playoff bowl or polls, Oregon is at 11, and they'll stay somewhere around there if they win this next week, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So you've got a 10, maybe 11 team playing an 18 team for the Pac-12 championship game. That's an interesting game. That's what people would want to see. And then if you're a Utah fan and you win that, you know, you're gonna jump at the polls. I mean, you know, maybe Utah moves up again a couple of spots with a win over Colorado, but Oregon, depending on where their mindset is, Utah matchup in a Pac-12 championship game could have some fun to it.
In terms of feel, just like when you think about this, they just don't feel like Oregon does not feel like the number 11 team, and Michigan State doesn't feel like the 12th team in the country either. Oklahoma rings in at number 10, up three spots. They were your 13 last week. They go up to 10-1 on the season, and they're number 10 in the country. Oklahoma still hasn't really passed the eye test for a lot of folks, but I mean, they're 10-1, and they're in the Big 12.
And they're still, you know, they're still in it. I mean, they're still around here with a couple of weeks to go. I mean, they're not in the playoff hunt, but they're still up there.
This is where you're going to see a lot of this movement is in this top 10, and Ole Miss is number 9, up three spots from that 12 spot. These guys have switched spots around basically with Michigan State and Oregon. And Ole Miss, can you believe what Lane Kiffin has done and has a single-digit ranking next to his team's name, Ole Miss, at 9-2, 11 games into the season. And Ole Miss, my heavens, they're having a heck of a season. You know, this is all going to change probably, but Ole Miss is one of those teams that's going to avoid an extra loss in an SEC championship game. So they have the benefit of winning a game to lock out the season and then just sitting around and waiting for everybody else to fall in front of them.
Wow.
Baylor up three spots from 11 up to number 8. That number 8 ranking for Baylor feels very, very high as a 9-2 team. However, they beat Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is 10-1, and they're number 10 in the country. And so Baylor is at that number 8 spot. Certainly BYU and fans look at that and go, good. At least we know that loss that you took to Baylor was the one game that everybody looked at and went, you know, with Boise State, you could complain and go, oh, man, they played down to them. But Baylor beat BYU, and everyone went, yeah, that's about right.
But also if you're Baylor, you go, BYU's a top 15 team. I mean, they're 13 in the country, and Baylor beat a top-ranked team as well. So it's kind of helped both of these teams along the way.
So as the top 10, again, over the next couple of weeks, this is going to change so much. Teams like Ole Miss benefit, which is weird. They benefit from not going to the college or to their conference championship game. Oklahoma State
could be in it at the end of the day here.
Is 10-1 and is the highest ranked Big 12 team now.
Wow.
Up to number 7 from number 9. You've got Oklahoma State and Baylor and Oklahoma, which are 7, 8, and 10 from the Big 12 in the college football playoffs.
And people talk about is the Big 12 soft? Texas is nowhere to be found. But look at that. You've got 7, 8, and 10.
Here's the movement too, because the Bedlam series is this weekend. So you've got Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. You're going to see movement there. You're going to see something happen there. And this is interesting. So if you're just tuning in right now to Unrivaled here on 97.5 1280 The Zone, BYU rings in as the 13th ranked team in the college football playoff. Utah at number 19 in the college football playoff rankings. And so there you go. The top six are going to be revealed in just a few minutes here. I don't know, Scott, when I see this again, these rankings right now are very just – they're wild, because all of this is going to change. And the top six teams, when they roll these teams out – I mean, Michigan and Ohio State are going to be playing each other this weekend, not even for a conference championship. They're going to be playing each other this weekend. One of those teams is not going to be playing in the college football playoff at all. How far do they drop down? And then will they end up benefiting from not playing in the Big Ten championship game and not getting that extra game not having that extra loss?
One of the things I don't ever understand about these rankings, and it's every year, right? And all you know is – the way it starts is not the way it's going to end up. It's kind of like, okay, we're going to take our first pass at this.
Yeah.
And then everything just changes.
No, all this does is give us a week of something to talk about.
But here's – because you know it's going to change, and the reason you know it's going to change is because you have – here you go. You have Georgia now is number one. And they're –
not
they're
a shock.
Right. And then you're going to have Alabama number two, maybe Ohio State. But the thing is you have these teams in the same conference, and I'm not going to buy it. I don't care. Until I die, I'm not going to buy it. Oh, wow. Ohio State moved up to number two.
Is number two in the college football playoff rankings for this week.
That's interesting.
They do the old hop, skip, and a jump from four to two.
But still.
Deserved, though?
They may be playing very well. Yeah,
Alabama, only won by a touchdown at home over Arkansas.
I've never been thrilled about Alabama. This year, not every year, but this year, I just think they're down a little bit. But all these schools are going to be playing each other. The Big Ten schools are going to be playing the SEC, the Big 12 schools, and by the time it's all over, it'll thin itself out. But I just don't see how they put them all up there at the very beginning.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5, and 6 have not been revealed yet. 1 and 2 is Georgia and Ohio State. The interesting thing will be to see if they end up putting Cincinnati at that four spot, Alabama has just been put into that three spot.
I'll tell you who's going to be four. It's going to be Michigan.
You don't think it's going to be Cincinnati?
Nope.
Michigan didn't have an amazing win over the weekend, though.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, they're just going to put them up there because they're in the Big Ten?
It's the SEC and the Big Ten. That's what this is going to be.
But again, Cincinnati's just going to sit. What's nice is you're going to get like college football, like a mini playoff, because you've got the Ohio State on one side of the bracket
and Michigan
playing Michigan this week.
And they probably
could be on the other side.
And maybe they're doing this to kind of bet this out.
I think it's going to be Cincinnati. Scott, I think it's going to be Cincinnati. I am like really holding out hope that it's Cincinnati, because then it'll be hard to take them out of that four spot.
No, it won't. It won't. No, they'll have no problem taking Cincinnati out of
my heavens.
Four. No,
well,
no
then
problem
put
them
at number two. Make them feel good for the next couple of weeks and just like let them get
leapfrogged. I think it's just the cruelest thing in the world.
That Cincinnati can't be a part of this?
Yes. Mm. Without question.
All red teams right now at 1, 2, and 3, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. Can Cincinnati round that out with some black and red as well, or is it going to be Michigan, maize, and blue? Number four, Cincinnati!
Wow. This is unprecedented. Woo! Unprecedented right here, folks.
But, Scott, it's just setting them up for heartbreak. I mean, like,
because Ohio State plays Michigan.
Right.
So what if Ohio State loses? So Michigan will go in.
Michigan would go to three. And then Alabama would go to two. That's what it would be if Michigan wins this week over Ohio State. And Ohio State would go to like 6 or 7.
Yeah, because you can't be.
You
got
to give Ohio State another week after that to possibly get themselves.
Watch a team like Oklahoma State slipping in there.
Look at Cincinnati.
That is something else.
I don't know historically if there's even been top four ever, even at any point of the rankings, as Michigan is slotted up from the sixth spot up to number five this week. So, yeah, Michigan just on the outside looking
in. And, of course, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame goes up two spots to
yes,
number six.
Oh, yes, Notre Dame just flies just up the charts. Of course they do.
You got to put them up there, Scotty. You've got to put you got to put Notre Dame at number six. Because then you have to justify, because you don't want to let them jump up two spots next week or the week after. You want to do it now so that it makes more sense when they slide them into that number four spot after the next couple of weeks.
It'll be Georgia, Ohio State, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame. That's what the college football playoffs is
going to
be.
I want to vomit on that.
That's what the college football playoffs is going to be.
Well, because they can't. Cincinnati has a head-to-head with Notre Dame.
Yep.
They beat Notre Dame.
Yep.
So Notre Dame will never supplant Cincinnati just by virtue of winning an extra game because, you know, it's just not going to work out. I think Notre Dame still has – who does Notre Dame still even have to play? Their schedule –
Stanford.
It's that Stanford game, which is not – no one. That's not a good game. It's a 3-8 Stanford team who gives up 50 points every game now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a historical moment, folks, to see Cincinnati in the top four.
At number four. They throw them a bone, and there you go. They are absolutely celebrating.
And here's the most beautiful part about all of this.
What is it?
If Cincinnati's in, then it's not subjective anymore. Like, they got invited to the dance. They can win.
This is fake invited.
Whatever.
It's 2 weeks before anything actually.
I'm just saying, if they keep them in, and now they're going to play Georgia, but, you know, who knows? They almost beat Georgia a year ago.
Right.
Not saying, you know, Georgia's pretty good.
That'd be a fun little matchup, though. A little rematch the next year in the college football playoff between Cincinnati and Georgia. It's quite wild.
Oh, my goodness. Would that be something to watch Cincinnati win the college football? Now, I would cheer for Cincinnati.
If they're in, I'm cheering for them.
The number four team. I hope they just stir up the apple cart, because that right there
tells
you.
Stirring up the apple cart, is that a term?
Yeah, you upend it. You stir it. You stir up the cart.
The old Scott Mitchell mixed metaphors. I love it. Stirring up the apple cart.
You don't want to stir up an apple cart.
No, you don't.
That's a bad thing. That's a bad thing.
Oh, my goodness.
But when they do that, they will that will just be that final. That's why we need the playoffs.
Over the last,
that's
week,
why we need to expand it, because you just don't know. You don't know until you play all of these teams. And I would love for Cincinnati.
Utah has one of the biggest jumps, of course, this week because of the win over number three Oregon. They go up four slots. I'm actually surprised that they have Wake Forest in front of Utah still. That seems like an easy pick for me. Even though Wake Forest has won one more game and lost one fewer game, it just does not feel like it passes the eye test. If you're going to put teams where they need to be, I mean, San Diego State's 21. UTSA is still undefeated. They're 22. Clemson wasn't ranked at all last week, and they jump in and they ring in at number 23. So these college football playoff rankings, I'm excited about it. And we might be Luke Fickle's team at Cincinnati.
There's a new head coach at USC
Oh, boy. They're showing Luke Fickle on
the
TV screen.
That is the new head coach at USC.
Scott already picturing him in the maroon and gold. The ones that Gary Barta and the committee's explanations that have to happen this week are a lot fewer, I think. I don't think that you have to do a lot of explaining.
Well,
because
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, you want to go, what on earth happened? Why is it that this win over Virginia suddenly became, a massive win over Georgia Tech suddenly became such a huge deal? I don't know. Going up to number six, is that where they're at?
Yeah.
Number six on the college football playoff rankings. How did Notre Dame get there? Cincinnati, though, that's the big headline here. Cincinnati number four. I'm totally with you, Scott. Because now this is the new Boise State. This is the new era
better.
Of what Boise State. Yes, that's
what
I'm saying.
Better than Boise
it's
State.
It's an improved version of, because then they'd have to win two games to win that national championship. But man, I'm like the biggest Cincinnati fan. The Big 12 right now, and the new version of the Big 12. Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, he's just loving this because he's got a bunch of teams right now that are in that college football playoff discussion. I mean, not the playoff itself, but the high rank. Oklahoma State at number seven. Baylor at eight. Oklahoma, who's leaving the conference, is behind them at 10. But then you've got Cincinnati, who's coming into your conference in 2 years at number four. You've got BYU at 13. This is a massive deal.
And Texas is not.
Texas is nowhere to be found.
All my exes live in Texas is what's going on there.
You don't want to stir up the old apple cart,
no,
do you?
No, do not stir up the apple cart.
Get some applesauce with that.
Well, what would you do with an apple cart? Upend it?
Yeah, I think you tip it over. I don't know what the saying is. I think
stir
it's
it up, right?
You don't stir up the apple cart.
Well, you stir up the bee's nest.
Oh my goodness!
But you know, the bees had to like pollinate the buds for the apples.
Keep going wherever this is going.
So
keep it going.
So you stir up the bees and you stir up the cart and the apples. You got a mess.
You're on a natural high.
How do you think they make applesauce?
You're on a natural. You stir up the apple cart. Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. That's how first applesauce was invented, is some team didn't get invited to the college football playoff.
And they're from Cincinnati.
Good for Cincinnati.
So here's what's going to happen.
All red across the college football playoff.
Ohio State and Michigan are going to play, right?
Got it. This weekend, the game.
So Michigan's probably going to lose because they always lose to Ohio State.
Sure.
Notre Dame is going to go into that four spot, and Cincinnati's going to drop to five.
No! Yeah, it will be tough. I mean, Michigan beating Ohio State.
Then guess what's going to happen? Alabama is going to lose
in the SEC championship game to Georgia.
So they're out.
But see what happens if. But see, when Georgia loses to Alabama,
there's going
to
be one team.
There's going to be a swap.
There's going to be one team that's in there right now that's going to lose. At least one. It could be. I mean, Alabama and Ohio State could both lose in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, yes,
totally.
I mean, Alabama's got to play the Iron Bowl on top of it.
And if they keep losing, if Ohio State, and I said this last week, Ohio State loses and Alabama loses, then Cincinnati is locked in there. But you know what they're locked into? They don't have to play Georgia. Like, Cincinnati could end up playing Georgia in the national championship game. Because you know what? Cincinnati can beat Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame will slide in there. Oklahoma State will slide in there, provided that they win. And, this is fascinating because Cincinnati could legitimately get in the national championship game.
When does Luke Fickell get the offer for that USC job?
Yeah, he's already got it.
He just got it right there. Oh, my goodness.
They had his number on speed dial, and they go, if he's in, we're calling him right now. It's like he's our man.
Well, because then you enjoy that full week of that attention. And the reality is Cincinnati's not going to lose the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, they'd be able to ride that for a long time. Be able to say, hey, we're in the college football playoff. And then they'd get kicked out of no fault of their own. Then there you go.
To Cincinnati's credit, they did it a year ago, and they did it again this year. I mean, they –
It's amazing.
This is a team that's just really been on one. So,
all right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. Those are your college football playoff rankings. They just rolled out. BYU at 13, Utah at 19. Those are your local teams, of course, here. Your top four. Cincinnati comes in at four. Number three was Alabama. Number two is Ohio State. They swap spots. And then number one, of course, is Georgia. So there you go. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. Tim Lacombe, the coach, is going to join us, talk to us a little bit about that Utah Jazz loss against the Memphis Grizzlies last night late. A three-point dagger that sent the Jazz packing in their own building. And the Memphis Grizzlies got a win here in Salt Lake City. We'll come back. We'll talk to Coach Lacombe. More to go right here on Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
See, at its core, without pills. If you're ready to put a stop to your ED, call us now, and not only will the assessment and ultrasound be free, we'll also include something unique that produces immediate results. You're going to love that. And today only, we're offering three additional treatments to our patients free. This means that if you notice results fading in the future, we'll retreat you free of charge. This is an extraordinary value, and it's only good today. Call us now to qualify. 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Put a stop to your ED by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Wasatch Medical Clinic now. This offer ends today. 801-901-8000.
Your home for the best college football coverage in Utah. This is your Utes at 50 update on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, it's your Utes at 50 update right here on the Zone Sports Network. Kyle Whittingham says that he's grateful to be at Utah for so long, able to be the school's winningest coach after last week's W.
Well, it's been a long journey and a long grind, I guess you could say, although I loved every minute of it. But I really don't have a different stance or a different take. I mean, it's, again, I just feel grateful that I could be at one place and have the opportunity to build so many relationships and have so many outstanding players come through and coaches. So I guess I'm not saying anything different than I've said the last couple of weeks, but truly am feel very blessed. That's kind of the bottom line.
Thanksgiving right on top of us and Christmas right around the corner. Zero Res is grateful to be able to clean the Salt Lake City area's carpets and homes. Guests are coming over. It's more important than ever to get those carpets clean. Schedule your appointment today. ZeroResSaltLake.com or if you're up north at ZeroResDavisWeaver.com.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, thanks for joining us right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. Big news of the college football playoff here locally. Utah's number 19 in the new college football playoff rankings. BYU number 13 moved up one spot. Utah moved up four spots. And, yeah, your number four team in the college football playoff is the Cincinnati Bearcats. So that was a shock to us a little bit. Could be some movement, of course. Number three was Alabama, who switched spots with Ohio State, who's now number two after their win over Michigan State, and now number one is still the undefeated Georgia Bulldogs. By the way, if you just missed our conversation with Coach Tim Lacombe, you can go back on the podcast, listen to any of our portions of the show that you may miss on the podcast. Just look up Unrivaled. You can also download the podcast at KSLSports.com or find them wherever your podcasts are. He joined us on the Smart Rain guest line, by the way. Best of State winner Smart Rain has an incredible Black Friday offer going on right now the entire month of November. Smart Rain giving away free controllers and a free Apple iPad to commercial properties who sign up for that paid cellular and hosting subscription. Visit them at smartrain.net. Scott, it's that time of the show. You know what that music in the background playing is? It's the old NFL music. You've been a part of a couple of two-minute drills in your day, Scott. Maybe even on a Thanksgiving day, you've done some two-minute drills. So explain to us what they are.
Well, late in the football game, you're going to field kick, field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about. Not a lot of time, so hurry up, finish the show. Talk a little bit about a lot of things and go home happy with the trophy because everyone gets a trophy. And then we get a couple of COVID shots. And let's not kid ourselves.
Why?
We're not getting a plethora of desserts. No. We're not even getting a dessert. But we might get some stuffing for Christmas.
Are you gonna,
or Thanksgiving?
Well, look, we're doing our plan. Scott's lost 120 pounds. I've lost 100 pounds this year. We've been on a thing. Are you going to take a bite or two of a piece of pie, maybe, or is it the kind of thing where you go, I'm an addict, man?
Are
I
you
can't
really
going to
ask me that? No, I'm not going to take a bite of
oh,
a
you're
piece
not?
Of pie.
Okay, okay.
No,
just wondering.
If we touch any sugar, we go out of keto for like 4 days.
You go out of keto
yes.
for 4 days?
Is that how it works? Read the fine print when we started this thing?
No. I don't want to attempt it either. So, and if I was going to waste carbs, you know what I would do it on? Some of them
pizza.
Dinner rolls. No, the dinner rolls at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because I get those, you know those Lion House rolls?
Woo!
Got a pound of butter in each one of those things, man. So good. Two-minute drill, Scott, brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory. Shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. So, yes, lots of stuff to jam in here on this segment. I wanted to bring this up because Kentucky has a defender. They've got a linebacker who's really, really good. His name is Josh Pascal. And last week we talked about that the backup fullback for Kansas who got that overtime catch against Texas to win that game, and he started getting Applebee's deals. Well, this is what Josh Pascal is now doing. He's running some dentist ads locally there in Kentucky. Take a listen.
With the new changes in the NCAA, I thought it was time to get some help around here in communicating the importance of oral health. Who better than the best defender in the country, Josh Pascal?
I really see myself as a role model to these kids.
Touchdown, baby! Let's go! Is that all you got? Is that all you got? That's weak!
I think the parents are really appreciating the extra encouragement.
When it's bedtime, we had to have each other's backs. We got to get off Facebook and TikTok, and we got to brush those kids' teeth. Okay, baby? Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, we're ready for you.
There it is. So, he got himself some money there. He got himself some dough. I don't know why this isn't happening more locally, Scott. Are you kind of shocked that we have these NIL guys that we don't have as many NIL deals going on here locally? Just like little. Well, why not? Why aren't there smaller companies that are paying for guys to get on there?
I think the NIL deals are about recruiting at this point. That's what I really do. I think.
Well, then get them the deals.
No, I understand, but like it just started recruiting. It kind of happened late in the summer. Hasn't been an opportunity. I think people are trying to figure this out, figure what they can possibly do. All this
stuff.
There
are so many possibilities.
There's a million possibilities.
So many.
And that's probably why folks are like, let's just take a step backwards for a minute. Let's calm down and let's look at this thing because the potential of it's massive, but the recruiting thing is going to be a big part of this deal.
Doesn't Lloyd Jeremy have like some commercial beds we could? Yeah, see, there's some commercial music right there. Hi, Tyler Algier here for BYU. At Nu Skin, they understand what you want to be confident, to regain that fresh feeling again. I'm not sure totally what it is that Nu Skin does, but I believe in them. I'm Tyler Algier, everybody. Look, you can do that, right?
Yeah.
How about this one? You ready for this one? No, this one's a little bit more of the... You got to find small... Hey, James Empey here, BYU All-American Center. I know about being a center, and that's why I trust my friends at the Missionary Training Center. For all my missionary training needs. Enter the promo code Empey at checkout for a 15% discount on all you can eat Fruit Loops. Actually, you know what? If you enter the MP code, you actually pay 10% extra. That's what it is. I could probably do these all day. Oh, I got one for you. I got one for Utah. Hey, Cam Rising here, Utah quarterback. You know where this is going, right? When I'm not leading your Utes in a Pac-12 South title game, I'm relaxing in my Lululemon loungewear.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
Perfect for a thick boy.
Oh.
Who doesn't want to be held back by a drawstring, right? You know, you're wearing those football pants all game. You know what, though? Honestly,
Lululemon is
nice. JCW's not doing a hashtag thick boy on? Hey, Cam Rising here. Thick boy 7. When I want to get... If there's not a shake named Thick Boy 7 at the end of this season, I'm going to be mad. Or at least his time at Utah, they're doing this wrong.
Well, they should do the Thick Boy 7 ice cream at BYU.
Yes, at the creamery. Yeah. Utah needs a creamery. Utah State's got one. BYU's got one. Yeah.
Wonder how you get one of those.
You have to like tear out one of your research buildings up at Utah and put in a creamery.
That's it?
I don't know. I got one. Hey, Lopini Katoa here for BYU. Fat Cats has been the awkward date choice for BYU students for more than 23 years. See what I'm saying? There's a lot of money in this, right? Who's that guy for BYU who everybody's his nephew? Jack DeMooney. You remember? He's like the recruiting director. Here we go. I got one for Jack DeMooney. Hey, Jack DeMooney here, BYU Director of Player Recruitment. If I really do want to find out if somebody is my nephew, I go to Family Search. .com for all my family needs. See? Even the coaches can get in on this action. Think about how bad Nick Saban's commercials have been. Aflac.
I love Nick Saban's commercials.
Nick Saban's commercials on Aflac when he goes, hey, Dion, the type of protection I get from this duck has been awesome, guy. Like, so bad of acting. So bad. And yet he gets all grumpy about his players wanting to get NIL deals. Get these kids a chance, man.
That's what makes it good is because he's a football coach and comes across that way.
All right. That's the end of that one, the old two-minute drill. Yeah. Hey, we've got to come back with more, though. We're going to come back. We've got more to talk about. Stay right here with us. 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Is that so, right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, waning moments of the program. Thanks for being with us. Scott, I don't know if you saw this, but Joe Flacco... the Jets' new quarterback, the Jets' new old quarterback, Joe Flacco, and White. What's his name? Mike White. They are both out this week because they had close COVID contact. So they're out.
With John Beck?
You think it was Coach John Beck?
It could be.
Well, that being said, I don't know if it's early or what, but the Jets have announced that that Zach Wilson will be back from his 4-week hiatus with that knee injury, and he'll be back playing because, frankly, they don't have anybody else. Josh Johnson, who has played on 58 NFL teams, it looks like in his career over the past, he's been in the league. Okay, this is no joke. He's either been on the practice squad or on the roster at some point. With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 teams, Scott. 20 teams since 2009.
That's a record.
That is got to be. There's gotta a lot of asterisks. There's a lot of asterisks next to it. Which
practice
mean,
squad. Practice cut, squad. This,
but still.
That.
But still, he's. Scott, he has a jersey.
They just don't give you chances for stuff like that.
I'm telling you, the Buccaneers, the
5 or 6 maybe, but wow.
I guess a couple of those were repeats. Yeah, because he's been on the Jets twice, been on the 49ers twice. So it's only 16 teams he's been on in the last 9 years.
Well, that makes it better.
Well, listen, you think you're cool because you have 4 jerseys on your wall from NFL teams. You're no Josh Johnson, buddy.
I know. He's got all the cool helmets.
He's got the coolest. Like, I'm walking out of the Buffalo Bills.
That's all that matters now. Just the helmets.
You get some gear.
Yeah, it's all. It's, at the end of the day, it's.
If you're a practice squad guy, will they give you a jersey? No.
A game jersey?
No, not a game jersey. No. I mean, even just that little meshy one you get at practice.
What would you have a jersey for? The little meshy one you have at practice.
The practice meshy one. You know what I'm talking about. So Zach Wilson's going to get the start on Sunday. I mean, at this point, if you're the Jets, do you just throw the entire season away? You've got no quarterbacks.
Like now, you think they're throwing it away? They threw it away
I mean, like, active tanking now. Because Robert Saleh, he's the kind of guy that's not his vibe. That he put, oh, no, man, we are fighting all the time. And I believe this crap. When these guys roll out, this GM's different. This coach is different.
Look, it's about creating a culture. You know, and when you have those first rough years, you're fighting to win every single game. If you really want to change the culture of a program, yeah, because the whole just kind of getting through the season, that just develops a bad habit, and they just don't know how to do it other than to compete and fight hard. You know, they just don't, and he's not about that, and so. This is a good time for Zach Wilson to kind of come into the end of the season here and just have some toughness and fight through a few things. And so I'm glad that Zach Wilson's coming back because it didn't feel like he really wanted to come back.
All right, Zach Wilson fans, he's going to be playing this weekend for the Jets, going to get the start. Hopefully that knee's all there. All right, for Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, Jeremy pressing the buttons. We'll be back again tomorrow on another version of Unrivaled right here in 97.5 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.